Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Celebrating 8 years is radio's small business superhero. He's a syndicated radio host, syndicated columnist, author of two books, and all-around nice guy.
The most fantastic crime fighter the world has ever known.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks very much for joining us. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You've been listening already. Thank you very much for that, too. Andre Carter is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's back with us. Andre's back in the building. He's the CEO of Iremi. It's a Washington-based consultancy company focusing on technology, especially intellectual property. And he's the author of the upcoming book, a book which he's going to be launching. We're going to launch on this show in a couple of months, Little Blues. And he's our good friend. Andre, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Tim. Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. Little Blues, right? Is that still the name?
That's still the name of it.
All right. I'm glad your publisher didn't muck around with that.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, good deal. So it's going to be out. Now, see, you know, my audience has been waiting with bated breath, Andre.
I know they have.
Tell me, there's anybody in the world who's been waiting with as much anticipation as my audience for that book?
Aside from my parents, I can't say.
Exactly. Have you ever told anybody more about that book than me?
No, me and my audience.
So you got to come back here in a couple of months and launch it on this show. We're looking forward to it. I got to tell you this. I haven't told you this yet. Folks, over the years, you've heard me talking about intellectual property and you've heard me talking about the report that Kenneth Croson put out about the way intellectual property is overtaking fixed assets as the main assets that we leverage. And you've heard me talk about that. Some of you have read my articles about that. Well, the guy who first introduced me to that concept was Andre Carter. And Andre, when you talked about that in the very beginning, when I first met you, did you know that it was Kenneth Croson's work that you were quoting?
Have you
met Kenneth?
I have not. You've taken Kenneth and and now you've taken it to its own art form, and I love that about you.
Well, I'm like a bulldog. When I find something good, I hold on and I don't turn loose. But I've had Kenneth on my show at least a couple of times since in the last year.
I'd like to meet him.
He's right there in D.C.
I knew. But
he pronounces and he pronounces it Croson with it's spelled with an S, but pronounced with a Z, and I was misspelling his name for a long time.
Oh.
Yeah. And so anyway, I thought you'd find that interesting that I have met him. He has been on the show, and he was very flattered that I learned about him through you, and that you and I both were out there talking about some of the important research that he'd done.
You know what? It's really important stuff, and it's he could be like the next Deming, Dr. Deming, in quality and kind of the way he spearheaded that, because the shift is real, and it's. And it goes so far beyond the balance sheet, and because that's just your gateway to it. I was, but working with a lot of small companies, as I always do. But I was telling you at the break that you just continue to run into companies that kind of validate or inspire or further embolden kind of the ideas and concepts in the book, or that you and I talk about, or that you're now writing about, and just the more companies you meet, you see it. I had a. Do we have time for a quick story?
Yeah, but I tell you what, I want you to tell me the story in a minute, but first, in case we've got folks who may not remember, or they just tuned in, they've just picked up the show recently, tell us about what we're talking about. Remind the audience what we're talking about.
We're talking about intellectual property, and how if you have a small business, and it really doesn't matter what industry, it's very likely the lifeblood of what you do. And over the past 30 years, kind of the landscape has shifted. 34 years ago, a balance sheet, the value of a business was tied up in assets that you could touch, tangible assets, computers, leases, the building you're
in. Trucks,
yeah,
whatever it might be.
Inventory. Whatever, Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And today, while those things still have value, the probably the most productive storehouse of value inside your organization is the intellectual property, the intellectual output that you've somehow laid claim to, captured, cataloged, can prove you own, know it's there, and then by knowing it's there, have given some thought to how to leverage that and how to monetize that.
Well, we're going to a break here in a second. Give me an example, folks. 20 years ago, you might have access to $1 million worth of inventory that was in your warehouse, and that was on your balance sheet. Today, you'd be more likely to have $300,000 worth of inventory in your warehouse, and $700,000, and just access through a computer network and through relationships and technology, maybe that you developed, you'd have access to somebody else's inventory that would get to your customers just as quickly. But you didn't have to. You didn't have to own that $700,000 worth of inventory. And that's what we're going to talk about. And when we come back, Andre's going to tell us that story he was mentioning. It's 20 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Well, I was rolling down the road in some cold blue steel. I had a blues man on the back and he'd be fishing out the wheel. We're going downtown in the middle of the night. We're laughing and I'm joking and we feel
like we're back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate, and we're nationwide. Worldwide, actually, not just nationwide, worldwide. And my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check it out when you can. Use it to your advantage. It'll help you have the maximum opportunity to be successful. Andre Carter is our guest. He's the president and the founder of Arimi, I-R-I-M-I. Put a .com on that, right, Andre?
Arimi Corp.
That's right, arimicorp.com. And that's how you get to Andre's website. Okay, Andre, we're talking, folks, about intellectual property. And, Andre, I'm going to let you tell your story in a second, but the way I like to describe this to small business owners when I'm talking to them about this, and I do, I talk about it all the time, whenever I get a chance, when I'm making a speech or something, and that is, think of how you enter the marketplace. Mm-hmm. You leverage things. You leverage other people's time, your salespeople. Mm-hmm. Your employees, you leverage their time. You leverage money that you borrow from the bank. You leverage, you know, whatever assets you have. You use those to enter the marketplace. Well, more and more, you and I are leveraging intellectual property, the things that we know, the things that we've created and have stored in terms of information that's available. And that we leverage over technology would be one example of intellectual property. It doesn't have to be technology. It could be on a sheet of paper. It could just be in our head. But the point is that more and more every day, every year, you and I are leveraging intellectual property more and hard assets, as Andre, as you said last segment, less. Now, yes. Now tell your story.
Well, my story is you know, working with small companies, I had occasion to come across a small company, and they have software, so they're technology related. But there was some ambivalence about really patenting and really codifying intellectual property, although the company kind of turned it around and decided to do that, so they did. And the space that they were in is that, and I'm going to try to be cryptic about this because it's topical, so mm-hmm. I don't want to make a news announcement, but they sell software that would be used by a lot of large going concerns, and they came up with some pretty cool features and things that nobody else does, really solve some problems. And so you always think in terms of this market pressure that you're going to be going against your competitors, and that's a great reason to have intellectual property, which it is. You know what? The competitors were not as good, right? So their mm-hmm. idea that we don't need to patent anything because nobody's as good as us, in this case, was actually right.
Yeah. Okay? But they just got lucky, didn't they?
Well, here's the crux of the story. But they decided to go ahead and do it anyway just to be safe, took that ounce of prevention. What they mm-hmm. found out is when they really got to market that every customer that they were going to deal with, because the customers were so large, had requirements or or standards on the vendors that they could do business with,
mm-hmm.
which this company didn't remotely qualify for.
Hmm.
Right, number of employees, years in business.
Even though they had some capability that the others didn't have, they didn't have certain other qualifications.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And but the key is that the thing is those qualities, those standards were already out there. So when they got there, they said, "Oh well, we love that. Oh boy, you don't qualify at all." But when they got back and found out that they had their intellectual property buttoned up, that the patents were real, the copyrights, how they put it together, how the thing was sewn together and networked, how they really captured what they knew and what they could do, the companies then had to come back and say, and this took 3 or 4 months, and the dominoes have just started to fall with 2 or 3 of them in the last month, I'll
mm-hmm.
say. The companies came back and said, "Well, you know what? We've decided to."
And when you say companies, you mean their customers, their prospects?
Their customers. We've decided to, in one case, sort of rewrite our standards. In another case, we've decided that we're going to bend them in this case. Or, you know what? You don't have to go through this because it's X, Y, Z. So the point is that everyone's finding an exemption, a way to get to this technology.
Right.
Because they realize they're not going to find it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the intellectual property. And that, to me, that's like one of the more powerful examples I've seen in the last 6 months.
Well, so what you're saying is that when they didn't know that they didn't meet the some of the specifications while they were working on the technology, if had they not worked on the technology, they would have just been cast aside just as somebody that, they probably didn't even need to take their call.
That's true.
Now, another thing, while you were telling that story, though, what I thought you were going to say was that they said, you know what, we're going to find the best competitor that we can know, and we're going to partner with them so that they can use their credentials and our credentials. We'll create a strategic alliance and go to market.
Well, you know what, and they that probably would have been the next step.
Had they not gotten the phone call.
Right, but it wouldn't have been as much money for our small development firm, right? Because now that they're under their own name, they can come up with their own products. They don't have to split anything with anybody. And the customers, essentially, which is how it ultimately works, are going to teach them how to grow and be the company they need to be.
Right.
But the leverage in that is the intellectual property and the fact that they can't get anywhere else.
Right.
You know? So it just really powerful. It makes you feel good about the stuff that, you know, we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
People out there, and they do it. So.
Well, that's a great story, and that's real life stuff, by the way, folks. That's not some hypothetical thing that Andre cooked up. That's a real story, and I appreciate you sharing it with us. And folks, that could be you. I hope you're paying attention. The main thing is that company said, you know what? We feel that we need to develop this intellectual property, not just rest on our laurels and be like everybody else. It's 10 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back with Andre Carter, the author of the upcoming book, Little Blues. Welcome back. It's 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and thank you very much for joining us. Andre Carter is our guest, our good friend, the CEO of Irimi Corp. Put Irimi Corp and a .com together, and you'll find his website. His new book, which is coming out in a couple of months, Little Blues, which is something I've been telling you about. How long have I been telling my audience about that book? A couple of years?
I'm going to say about a year and a half.
Oh, it's at least 2 years.
Okay, maybe.
Maybe even more. I remember when it was just a gleam in your eye,
well,
Andre.
That's true. That's true.
Wasn't even
true.
On paper yet.
Yeah.
You had a title. You had a great title, but nothing on paper yet. But it actually is a reality, just not in the book form that you can hold. Yeah, but that's coming up real soon. Okay, Andre, let's shuck all this down for the average Billy Joe Bob and Laureen small business owner out there.
Okay.
And let's talk about their intellectual property. Now, the people you work for, you have to admit, are a little bit advanced when it comes to technology.
Yeah.
A lot of small business owners out there have technology. They have computers. They have, and they're using it more and more. But basically, they wake up in the morning thinking about the stuff that they sell. Not so much the technology that they use.
Right.
And but now they're making the transition. Everybody's having to make that transition to thinking, instead of thinking about the stuff that I sell, how to sell it more effectively with the technology that I have.
Right.
And developing systems and methods and processes around that. Things that we can develop ourselves, things that we can license that everybody else has, or maybe things that we can license that nobody else has. Those are all things that I want small business owners to think about. The dry cleaners, the tire store, the small manufacturer, the guy who has three convenience stores.
Mm-hmm.
I want them to be thinking at least as much about their intellectual property as they do about their inventory. And not just about selling stuff, but in my opinion, Andre, what I would do if they were saying, okay, where should I start thinking about intellectual property? I would say, start thinking about it from the standpoint of how do I reach out and touch my customers?
That's exactly right.
And take care of them and what they need. What do you think?
I think that's absolutely right. You say convenience stores. I'll give you kind of a classic off-road example. 2 days ago, there's here in D.C., there's a block that's like a very short block, and it's two convenience stores, one on each corner. They're probably, literally, it's like Gimbel's and Macy's, but they're probably...
Their back door is one door, right?
They're like 50 yards apart. And when you come up the street, it's like, which one do I go to? Well, I'm going to tell you, there's one that has slightly different stuff, right? And I don't know if it goes down to just knowing the customer or if they're running an algorithm back there, if it's in the back of someone's head, right? But I always go there because I know they're going to not just have the Washington Post, but they'll have the New York Times and maybe the Financial Times, right?
Mm-hmm.
They got the same toothpaste behind the thing that I'm going for, but they've
right.
always got one or two extra things. And you know what? The inventory mix, whoever's doing that, right, gives them an advantage because there's always just sort of there's a larger line at the other one.
So maybe what's happening is that somebody's analyzing through
right.
technology
right.
The usage of their customers, and they're making sure that the things that sold the most the last week are back out on the shelves, and the ones that didn't sell so much don't take up space.
There you go.
And that's nothing more than what you know about your business. And, folks, that's intellectual property, isn't it, Andre?
It is.
Just what you know. Never mind that it's that the numbers are on your computer. Anybody can create the numbers,
right.
but it's how you've sorted it so that you know these things.
Right. There's a difference between data and information. If you can take
say that again.
There's a difference between data and information. And if you can take data, how many people walked in, what they picked up, and whatever, and turn that into information, I should order this. You know what? They would like this. You know what? We need to put these here.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually go through that and then understand what you're doing, or at least try to understand what you're doing. You can create a competitive edge, even if you're selling seemingly the same thing.
And the more you can recognize that you've identified that kind of information, which then becomes leveraging power,
mm-hmm.
then the more you say, well, you know what? Maybe I need to focus this same technology on how I manage my people,
there
how many
go.
Hours they have, or when do I bring in extra help, or whatever.
Exactly.
And that's your intellectual property, folks. And you need to protect that. You need to realize it and
right.
protect it and value it because it's part of your leverage. Hey, Andre, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always.
Thank you, Tim.
Next time we talk to you, I better have a book in my hand.
I hope you will. You better do.
Thanks, Andre. See you later.
Thank you.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you on the other side of the news.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.